Welcome to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Now here's your host, Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis, and Trent Hart. And good evening. Welcome to the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis, Trent Hart, Aaron Ward in.
Woo!
This week with the SETX. Toby and Craig down here in the Randy's Rubs hot box. Got Trent Hart in the Porter's Processing Swamp box and Aaron in the comforts of SETX Sports there. And had a pretty interesting week of football, didn't we, Tobes?
I think so.
Yeah, definitely had an interesting week. Not the game, we expected, but not the game we wanted.
Right. Didn't come out like we wanted it by any means.
No, not at all. It was, I had you turned off. I forgot he's two, you're three.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, just not the week. Aaron was at that game. He was broadcasting for SETX. I had the 102.3, the Eagle stream. Not the game. The game we the outcome we expected, but not the score and the amount of play we expected.
Right.
Out of the Cold Spring Trojans. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, we just couldn't seem to get anything developed, anything going. It was one of those weeks that I felt like kind of got mixed in with homecoming.
Right. And I think it was the burn ban got them. I told you that.
Yeah, it started early on with us not being able to do the bonfire.
Yeah.
That kind of started it. But, yeah, I mean, it just, you know, when you left, we talked about it, and you kind of, what happened? You know,
Well,
it's kind of like, can we just, like, reboot, you know?
Yeah. No, and we're going to talk about that game.
Yeah.
And get Aaron's take on it on the East Chambers side, right?
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about Anahuac's poor performance this week with a win. Would you concur with that poor performance, Trent?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
I would say that it was, you know, coming off an East Chambers game where there was so much emotion.
Yeah.
And so much intensity. And yeah. Then for that intensity to kind of go out the window was disappointing.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll take the win, right?
Oh, most definitely. You take that win and you move on. You win the games you're supposed to win and let the rest take care of itself. And this district's really going to come down to – it's really going to get interesting in District 10-3A, the way the story's wrote out and kind of how we thought it could play out. Right, Toby?
Yep.
With the way it is. But had some good games. Had an absolute barn burner go on down there in Humble, Texas this last week. And Kingwood gave Atascocita everything they wanted plus a little pumpkin pie early on.
That's right.
Yeah,
we watched that score and thought, man, somebody's got to be messing with this thing, right?
No, we did, yeah.
It ended up becoming true.
Do you think it was maybe something like Atascocita had a kind of an Anahuac type intensity week? Same as, you know, what happened with Buna with Anahuac? You think Atascocita had that same thing?
Could be.
Very well could be. I mean,
I don't think roster for roster they match up, you know?
No.
So it's definitely some storyline with it, I would imagine.
Yeah. And that's one of them games that you go back and you look at the pick'ems this week, as Atascocita will be in the pick'ems.
Right.
And you look at that and you're thinking, now which way do I go?
Yeah.
Right. You know, with the game that Atascocita has this week. So it's going to be interesting. But Willis doesn't disappoint. They put up 63 over Conroe 7. So Barbers Hill just blew out Beaumont United 69-24. And it was tough. Barbers Hill has Galveston Ball this week, guys. And that was a game that we were looking at putting in the pick'ems and ended up dropping out of the game. There was a couple games that we dropped out. And we ended up adding a game that kind of, it wasn't until this last week that we said, you know what, this is going to be a good game to put in there.
Yeah.
And so we did. So Crosby shut out Fort Bend Kempner. Kingwood Park loses to Angleton 49-17. Lufkin beats Baytown Sterling 54-7. But Lufkin has a big one this week. Yeah. Game that was in our pick-ems. Brenham hosted the undefeated 6-0 Brian Rutter. And Brenham gets a win 31-10 there in week 7. So Huntsville shuts Dayton out. P&G shuts West Fork out. Montgomery all over Splendora 62-28. And I'm going to say Splendora's got a sophomore defensive lineman. He's played offense the majority of me watching him grow up, but they got him on the defensive side of the ball, and the kid's quick. He's got a good build to him and really moves well. I'm looking forward to watching him as Aiden Hernandez. As he, and I talked about him last year, and he was a freshman, and he had shoulder surgery in the offseason, wasn't able to play his freshman year till real late in the season. He had his other shoulder operated on sooner, and he was able to get back and has made it up to varsity. So looking forward to watching him. P&G shuts out West Fork. Talked about that one. Little Cypress, Mauriceville, and Liberty. LCM flexes 38-7 over Liberty.
It was kind of tight in the half if you were scoreboard watching. I think it was like 14-7 at the half.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was checking out at that halftime, and I was really surprised because, I don't know, you know, Liberty's kind of struggling to adjust, but, I mean, they're starting to show some improvement here and there, kind of like HJ. Like, I think you, if you're looking at that 10-4-8-D1, you got to look at it like
HJ, and we'll talk about HJ here in a little bit, but they're really starting to kind of roll a little bit. HJ is, would you agree, Toby?
Yeah, getting it together, getting the wheels underneath them.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, dropped, like you said. Well, dropped to Huffman. You know, 70-41, still put 41 points against Huffman.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that. Livingston makes a game out of the Bridge City game. 32-20 was the final there. I'll be interested Wednesday night, whenever I'm at Bullet, to hear Brian's take on that game. Of course, he's negative Nancy. But it's always about Livingston finds a way to lose, finds this, finds that. But to play against Bridge City, I don't know what the box score looks like quarter for quarter in this game, but very curious to kind of see that. But Navasota still having their foes as they lose to Stafford 28-7. Lumberton and Vider had a good football game. Vider gets the win there 34-28. Tarkington's got a field goal kicker. Did you know that?
Nope.
The only reason I know that is because they put 3 points up against Silsby in 44-3. And but really and truly, at a school Tarkington size, you know what I'm saying? To be able to have a place kicker, that's really something. That's something Cold Spring don't have.
Mm-hmm.
We tried it the other night, but we were unsuccessful. Hampshire Finette all over Jasper, 42-20. And I say all over, but go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Hey, Craig, I'm sorry, jump in there. I actually had seen something on the Hampshire Finette page the other night. I think they let Jasper score those last 20 points in the fourth quarter. I'm pretty sure the third quarter score, the end of the third quarter, was 42-0.
Wow.
Over Jasper. Because I still follow their Facebook page, and I was checking through the other day, and I saw that, and I go, oh, that's a very different narrative from what I was expecting, because I saw the final score, and I was like, okay, well, Jasper put up a pretty good fight. So
right.
I saw that, and I was like, well, maybe they were just so far ahead that they put the twos in by the fourth, and Jasper kind of made some scores or something. I'm not sure, but
no, and that would make sense, having Jasper shut out through three, putting your twos and threes in. Right. You know, we kind of seen that this last week as well. But Columbus all over Yoakum, 56-38. Crockett and Teague got the win there, and I'm bringing this up because it's going to be some relevancy there here in a little while. 57-19 was the final there. Westwood over Dieball, 41-13, which I wonder what's really going on in Dieball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What's really going on over there? Because we watched them Toby, you and I went over there and watched them scrimmage Jasper, and they look. We knew they weren't. We had a good feeling they were not going to be the number one team in that district.
Right, but we didn't leave out by any means thinking this is going to be a bad year. Which I still think they'll probably get second in that district.
Yeah, but.
But what are they going to do actually in the playoffs, you know?
Right. They're not going to – I don't feel like they're going to have wind that run. Up,
yeah, they're going to get an Orangefield or an East Chambers or maybe even Nanawat.
Right.
And, Most likely.
And look, appears to be beatable, obviously.
Right.
You know. I'm just curious. I wish I had a week off to go watch, just kind of figure it out. You know what I mean? Because Jasper's just been – I mean, Dieball's been so dominant for so long.
Yeah.
I just
the Dieball Teague matchup becomes more and more interesting.
I agree.
When we get there, because I mean, yeah, Toby. I mean, we all had Dieball finishing. Well, not all of us had Dieball finishing second, but now I'm thinking they might be looking at third if Teague keeps playing the way that they're playing. They just beat Crockett 57-19.
Yeah,
and really the only, I mean, in all reality, I mean you. You know, who are you wanting to avoid? You know, I mean, I would want to avoid Anahuac because of the quarterback and their throwing ability.
Right.
So you get East Chambers, you get Orangefield. I mean, East Chambers is kind of a solid team, and Orangefield's got a good back.
Yeah.
But you're kind of pick your poison, you know?
Yeah. And Orangefield, I think the way East Chambers is, in my opinion, they're not so one-dimensional. They were a majority on the ground, but they had multiple weapons that they used this last week that we've seen. You know, they had that Smith kid. They would run him on the jet sweep. They had the Jones kid out of the backfield. Their quarterback, Fontenot, could run a little bit. You know, so it was multiple weapons there. But yet, whenever you looked at the Orangefield game, you had their quarterback and you had that running back, that Manning kid. That was really what you had, and then he threw the ball a little bit. But they were a lot more one-dimensional than what East Chambers is. And we talked about it.
I would say that.
Last night, or Friday night, you and I kind of talked about it.
It's going to be a good matchup.
It is.
I mean, in all reality, when I think of Orangefield, I think of their, you know, the outside backer number 9 with the blitz and ability he's got.
Right.
But I also think about the backs that they got and the quarterback that they got. And then you look at East Chambers, and it's like no one really stood out. 11 was a pretty good back. He hit it great. Thought their defense was solid.
Yeah.
To me, that's going to be a really good matchup. And so somebody asked which way that's going to go.
It's probably a game going to be in the pick'ems.
Yeah. Now, if you ask Trent, he's probably going to say, oh, Orangefield by a mile, right? I mean, they won 38-0. But
okay. So let's ask him right now.
That throws everything off, right?
Just Trent. And Aaron, you've seen them both, Orangefield and East Chambers. Those two square off. I mean, unofficially, what direction do you go?
I mean, I'm sure some people would probably, you know, jump out and be like, "Oh, you're a little bit of a homer, aren't you?" And I'd probably say, "Yeah, maybe a little bit," but I'd say East Chambers has an edge so far. I think they have an actual chance of taking down Orangefield at the end of the season. That's the final game of the season for East Chambers, and that's kind of how it's been for the past 2 or 3 years. Like, I'm pretty sure Orangefield won back in 2022 when they first came in the district, and then last year I'm pretty sure East Chambers won. I was at both, and it's always been a really tight matchup for the most part. East Chambers had a bit of an edge last year, but I really think that with Coach Sutherland, how he coaches and how the team progresses through the season, you know, the East Chambers team from week one looks a lot different from week 8 or 9.
I would agree with that. That was the Rice consolidated run, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Cause if you look at like their week ones and week twos, the past couple of years, not great showings, especially when you look at some of those Hampshire Finette games. But, once you start to get to district play, that's when those teams usually take off. They've kind of figured things out, timed everything out. Because there is some timing stuff with that offense, especially when you're, you know, putting a man in motion and then you're deciding whether to hand off or just, you know, pitch it over for the jet sweep or whatever. Like, there's some timing stuff for that offense. And but I really have some faith in that offense now. I mean, they just – you know, what Anahuac offers, that whole plethora of wide receivers. You know, East Chambers offers a whole plethora of running backs right. and run game.
Yeah.
Even with Jarrell Smith, Jarrell Smith's actually listed as a wide receiver, but he might have the most rushing yards out of the whole team so far of the season. So, you know, I think they get a good shot. But, you know, Coach Bro's really pivoted that Orangefield team from the start of the season as well, being a new coach in this district and a first-time head coach. But he has, you know, he has a background of a state run with Westbrook when he was an OC over there. And, you know, it's going to be a matter of time before they catch up. So if they don't win this year, they might win next year. They might be full to form. And that's going to be pretty scary considering where they are even right now. They're 4-0 in district play.
Yeah. No, they're definitely with the – they're pretty young.
Trent, what's
Trent's thoughts? He's been quiet.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just listening intently, right? And I've been thinking on it this while Aaron was talking. And I think that East Chambers can match up with them score for score. I think it's going to come down to the defenses. And the struggle that East Chambers is going to have is the way that they defend the run. And, you know, personally speaking, you know, on Anahuac's part, they want East Chambers to win that game, right? And they want them to win it by, what was it, 6 points, Craig, five or more?
Five or more, yeah.
So that they can possibly have the first seed. But, I mean, that's a stretch. Yeah, I want East Chambers to win, but I think Orangefield probably has a little bit better of an edge playing at home. It is extremely difficult to beat Orangefield on their field.
So let's just take what happened. Y'all help me out on this. What if Cold Springs were to beat Buna and beat Hardin, and then they get Anahuac, the Anahuac that played Orangefield?
Right.
If we get that team and we happen to win that game, how does that shake everything up?
Well, that shakes it up a bunch, right? Because now you got Anahuac looking at Westwood in the first round of the playoffs.
So there's still a chance that we could avoid them.
Yeah, that would be the only way.
That's the only way.
So
it's basically, it's going to come down to that last week of football.
So,
right.
Yeah.
East Chambers defense held Cold Springs offense to 169 yards rushing.
Okay.
169 yards rushing. And then we had a total of 91 yards passing last week against East Chambers. Now, with the caveat there was Tiger Parker was out, right?
It's a big part of your offense.
Yeah. We're missing Kane Daigle. Defense in, right? Just somebody on that edge. And the first seven plays, Aaron, this last week, East Chambers ran were to the right side of our defense, which is where Kane Daigle normally is. So they strategize. They seen something on film, you know, that's exactly what East Chambers did. I noticed that early on, their first couple drives, everything was to the right side, and we had no answer for them.
Yeah, that y'all even tried to switch up some of y'all's defensive formation to counterbalance that and to try to counter that run. And still, I mean, Kobe Jones was getting seven, eight yards a carry sometimes. Yeah. And that was frequent through that game.
Well, we stayed in three down linemen.
Right.
We stayed. So we were going little guys behind, you know, you were going with more DBs, obviously, than adding another one or two D linemen.
And I don't know if that one or two D linemen was going to help that with them getting it on the edge.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I think the speed was greater than what we could have put with the hands in the dirt, in my opinion.
I don't know if it was that or they were just like bringing force downhill and double teaming up our outside backer. I haven't seen the film or I haven't watched it. You're right. They were getting seven positive yards every time they were going to that outside.
Yeah. And I mean,
from what I remember, it seemed like he was getting some pretty good blocks off the line. And then once you pair up his that body of his, I mean, he's basically like a tight end.
Yeah.
Like a big tight end.
Kid.
I agree.
He's maybe 6 foot, 6 foot one, maybe 220, maybe 200, somewhere in there. And when you get to that second level where the linebackers are and the corners are, I mean, it's like Derrick Henry. Yeah. Getting past that first layer, you don't want to be hit by that dude.
Right.
Yeah, and we were attacking up front.
And for the listeners, just to recap, we're talking about the Cold Spring East Chambers games this last week out of District 10-3, a homecoming night for Cold Spring, right? And we're talking about District 10 and that football game and kind of the breakdown of where it's going to be and what we seen as we were at that game. Aaron was covering that game for SETX, and I was covering it for the radio station 102.3 The Eagle. Excuse me, a 47-18 score. East Chambers wins this one. And we're talking about, was it Kaylor Jones? Cody Jones was the running back, that number 11. Big kid, as Aaron was just saying. He's a downhill runner. There's no shiftiness to him. Yeah.
But in all reality, I mean, and that's why I say when we left the game, it was one of those that you just, you what happened? You know what I mean? Yeah. It was nothing real flashy. It just, they just like rolled us, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, I think you play that game three times, you get the same outcome.
Right. You throw Tiger in there and it could change it.
Well,
you might score first, then they got to match you, and then so on. So it could have. It's almost like we never could get that offense going. I mean, look, we had 260 yards total offense.
Well, and they did East Chambers did a really good job keying in on Caden Barton.
Mm-hmm.
The first half he was not an option.
Yeah,
right. Running the ball, didn't break anything big, and then you put him back and Cold Spring once again did a good job mixing in the double wing with the spread.
Right.
And even when David Rowe was going to him, there was good coverage on Caden, but David overthrew Caden just about every pass he threw to him.
Right.
And it was just non-catchable balls coming out of David Rowe's. But I credit David. David had a good game, you know, athlete-wise. He ran the ball well. I think he had 5 carries for 22 yards.
Definitely didn't hurt you.
There was one play where he kind of had to scramble and make something out of nothing and ended up picking up a first down on that play. But I do. I think you play that game three times, and I think East Chambers wins that game. I think just overall a little bit more disciplined football team. If you go through and you look at the penalties throughout the night, Cold Spring had multiple.
I think it's a scheme thing.
Yeah.
I think you take Cold Spring's roster into a different scheme.
Yeah.
You have a shot at beating them.
Just curious, what kind of scheme –
I think what you have, and this is just opinionated, obviously. I think you got to win that battle up front, especially right. defensively. You got to get some more movement. I think you got to bring some help down on the line, and I think that would help not get the 7-8 yards that East Chambers was getting. You've got to get a little more penetration,
right?
And I think what was happening is we were on our heels. Too many people are backpedaling on the snap of the ball,
right?
Especially in the secondary. So by the time they're coming downhill, you're already 5 yards in negative, right?
Right.
And then you got a big back on top of that. So that's where you're getting your 7 or 8 yards. But once again, I'm not watching film. I know, like, if you were to watch the Texas and Georgia game last night, that game was won up front. The defensive front from Georgia won that game, right?
Yes.
They won that line of scrimmage. They were putting pressure on them. And a lot of times it takes the right people, you know, so – if East Chambers were to match up somebody in the playoffs and they're big up front, I may say, hey, I got to give them the edge because they're going to win that battle, you know, that line of scrimmage. That's the only thing I could really see. I mean, we got beat over the top, I think, twice. But I'm not going to call that being what lost us the game, right? I think what lost us the game is we could not win the line of scrimmage.
I agree with that. We got beat up front across the board right. on both sides of the ball.
Right.
Right. There was countless plays sitting up there in the press box where I seen that East Chambers had linemen that were 6, 8, 10 yards downfield still picking up blocks, right. You know, and, you know, they looked good.
Mm-hmm.
East Chambers really looked good. I'm looking forward to that East Chambers Orangefield game.
Yeah.
That's going to be
a good game to watch.
We'll have Harden at home that night. We're going to definitely be watching.
Definitely watch that. Yeah.
That's for sure. We're going to take a break here on the 590 Sports Show. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Anahuac and Harden this last week and talk about some more games that went on and get ready for our pick-ems. You're listening to the 590 Sports Show powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll be back right after this.
From custom processing, professional guide in hunts, high tanning, and gator merchandise, Waters Processing and Alligator Farm offers a personal experience like no other. Locally owned and operated in Anahuac, Texas since 1987, Waters has been Southeast Texas' choice for any hunting adventure need. Now offering full-service processing of gator, deer, beef, hogs, and other wild game, make Porter's Processing this hunting season's one-stop shop. Go to PortersProcessing.com or call 409-267-8413. Building a new home? Does your driveway need a long overdue facelift? Are you just looking to finally get that lot cleared to build something great? Look no further. Trust the locally owned and operated professionals at Title Services Incorporated. No need to hire multiple contractors. Title Services does all phases of residential and commercial land clearing, house pads, ponds, dirt and rock delivery, and demolition. Call for a free estimate today at 409-267-1057 or visit them on Facebook at Title Services, Inc.
We told us in the Randy's Rubs hot box, Trent Hart up there in the Porter's Processing swamp box. He's that little square on your screen there for those of y'all that are watching on Facebook Live as well. And then Aaron Ward with SETX.com up there on the top left side of the screen joining us in as he was at the East Chambers Cold Spring game this last week. Same game we were at, Toby. And Trent was over at the Anahuac Woodville game, or excuse me, Anahuac Buna game this last week as they get a 21-0 win, Anahuac does, this last week over Buna. And Trent's words to me were, it's like we played down to our opponent.
Yeah, did y'all just pull all your starters out at half and that's where y'all stopped at 21?
No, that's when they started scoring
points.
I wish
that was the case, but it's not. Like I said, the intensity, it was a homecoming week for us too, and not that, you know, you would think that there'd be a little bit more hype surrounding a homecoming game, you know, but it just seemed like that coming off of that East Chambers game and the intensity wasn't quite there from the start. And what really I think contributed to that was Barrier tweaking his ankle again in the first quarter, so he went down and didn't come back until I think away about midway through the second quarter.
Yeah, I'll be getting him healthy.
The first score was actually a blocked field goal by Anahuac and a scoop and score that was made. And then don't ask me about the other three scores because the game was so at crawl. It seemed like it went by fast as far as time goes, right? Especially compared to the East Chambers game where we got home at 12:30 at night. We were out of the press box. I think I was out of the press box by 10 Friday night, which is unusual.
Fair.
But Buna's, you know, slot T that they run, they eat up a lot of clock. I think they, on one drive that ended up stalling, they ended up eating up 12 minutes off the clock. Almost a full quarter between the first quarter and the second quarter of play. And so, I mean, as far as possession goes, I mean, Buna just ate it up. It's just all of their drives would stall whenever they got into the red zone or even anywhere close, which is a good thing to the defensive side. And I will say that our defense played a heck of a lot better than they did the week prior. But as far as offensive momentum, it was just, you could tell that it was definitely hard to do and for the Panthers. And once Brady got back in, they started doing a little bit more quick passes, you know, sideline to sideline and, you know, quick slants and things of that nature to not, you know, expose Barrier to be in the backfield for a long period of time. And that's just to keep him from getting hit, right? You know, a win's a win. It wasn't a picture perfect win by any means, but you know, they've definitely got to get the excitement up for this next week, because we all know and we've all talked about how hard and how scrappy they are and how good their defense is. And I guess the positive is that you faced an all run slot T type offense. Now you're going to go to Hardin and you're going to face their wing T, right? And so at least you got a, you know, somewhat of a week to adjust your defense to that style of play.
Well, that Hardin football team, that's a sneaky team. And Aaron, I guess you're the only one that's sitting here in the group that has seen Hardin thus far. What's your take on Harden right now?
It's definitely not a team you want to have a down week against. Because I think East Chambers almost got a taste of that. Had they not been able to kind of build a little bit of lead in that second half, and then like a timely pick six there with Corbin Moore, the corner. Man, it would have been a different game. Like it, Harden, if Harden had a passing game, that might have changed that whole game because they were doing all right with some of the run game. It's a double wing, and they don't really deviate from it very much. I think they tried to put out some shotgun here and there, some spread, but their quarterback just doesn't have quite the ability to connect on every single throw, every single pass. So that's really kind of their hitch. Otherwise, it's a tough defense. I mean, they really provided some resistance against East Chambers' run offense. And I'll just say this, Anahuac just, they can't have a week where they're playing like they're playing against Orangefield or playing against Buna, because Chad Taylor's team might surprise you. They're tough.
Well, last year they showed some highlight. Oh, you know what I mean, Toby? Throughout the year, they had some high spots that we were able to talk about. And then coming into this year, we kind of talked about their strength of schedule, but yet that East Chambers game is the big prominent game, the first real good opponent that they have faced this year, and really made a football game out of that. And watching Cold Spring, one with the injuries that we have, right? We got Buna this week, so we can't look past Buna. Buna's only scored 38 points all year long. It's a game that Cold Spring should win hands down. But the following week, if we're not healthy, that Harden game really kind of raises some eyebrows, in my opinion.
It should. I mean, coming off a bye week is Harden. You know, they were off last week, and I wouldn't doubt if there were some of them sitting in the stands this past Friday. So they're going to have that extra week to prepare. I mean, obviously, most people would, if this game was in our pick'ems, you know, we'd go Anahuac. I mean, but you, like Aaron said, you can't go to sleep on this team. You can't. You can't think it's a gimme.
No,
and you can't do that any week, really.
I think if we didn't have the realignment with the district, and Cold Spring was maybe, you know, back in a 9-3A or something, and then you still had Shepherd and Tarkington, I think Harden would be that 4 seed this year.
Could be.
I think they'd be strong enough to beat some of those other teams and find a way to get in, and they haven't really had that opportunity just yet. It's usually been Buna.
Yeah, they're that team, I think, that if you come in slipping, they could get you.
Yeah.
But on paper, they're not supposed to.
No, they're not. Yeah. I think they're that sleepy team. Remember a couple years ago when we went to Huntington?
Right.
And Huntington beat us?
I do remember that.
That's how I see that.
Yeah, that wasn't supposed to happen, but it happens. And that's football.
And I could see the same thing happening for Cold Spring with that Harden football team. And that's kind of where I was going with it.
You're 100% right.
Trying to figure out
the comparison. You're letting everybody get kind of an expectation, like right. This could happen.
Yeah, it's very well possible. Yeah. I mean, let's go back. I had that prior to knowledge on injuries, right? I had that Cold Spring East Chambers game, like 42-38, I think is what my number was. And somebody asked me at the game, with Tiger being out, they said, what's your thoughts? I said, I think a 42-28 or 21 game, I think is kind of realistically. And I wasn't far off. It was 47-18. But my point being, if we're not healthy, right, then it's going to be very hard. Caden Barton does a great job running the ball. But
what if they would have, let's just say they would have slipped Landon Ellisor in that spot and let him run it? What would your thoughts be?
I don't think there's much of a difference there. Landon's more catty, more shifty.
Speed.
Yeah, a little bit more speed, but where he lacks a size. And let's be real, East Chambers was fast defensively.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing about Tiger. Tiger's, it's not that he's lightning fast. He's just powerful with his legs.
He's a power back.
Yeah, and so
he's like a world.
He's going to take advantage of defenses that are weak.
Right, and his older brother was the same way, Right.
Defenses that are strong at the next level, he may not be as effective.
Right.
But the Landon Ellisor would have been interesting. Because yeah, I'm telling you, the kid can run.
He's more shifty.
Very yeah. shifty.
Very shifty.
And that's what he did in junior high. He was primarily a running back. He didn't even go to a DB position to yeah. really this year.
Right.
So I would have been interested to see them move him over there to see what would have happened.
Right.
I don't know. You just never know. I mean, you got to try things.
No, you do. I agree.
But looking at this district, right, I mean, it's, you know, Orangefield in the driver's seat, 4-0. They have clinched their playoff spot at this point.
Yeah.
By the way, 6-2 mm-hmm. overall. Anahuac sitting in the second, 3-1. East Chambers, 3-1. Hardin is 1-2, 5-2 overall. And then Cold Springs, 1-2, 4-3 overall.
And then you got Buena Kirbyville at the bottom.
Right.
0-3 in district.
But, man, you got to love that. And going back to what Aaron said before we started the show, you got to love Ashley's graphics that he's put up on the
yeah
for the district standings. Louisville's also clinched a playoff spot.
Well, let's shift gears. Let's talk about something yeah. real quick. I had a phone call this week. Very interesting. And we talk about concussions. You know, possibly Kane Daigle's got a concussion, right? He's going to be out for a week or two. Toby Cameron has had a light concussion.
He experienced it, yeah.
Yeah. So the concussions are a lot higher, right? We're seeing a bigger number of concussions in high school football. I'm assuming down at the younger levels as well. Obviously, technology and medicine, it's like it's more identifiable. It's kind of like OSHA, right? You want to report more near misses at work, so on yeah. and so forth, and just so you can do your research and stuff. But I had an interesting phone call this week, and a guy went to a Little League football game in Cleveland. A friend of his boy plays for Cold Spring, and they were playing Cleveland last week. Trent sent us a graphic on that. But you go down there, and he's like, these kids, the pads that they got on, you know, shoulder pads are thicker, a little bit, you know, more advanced than what we had as kids, right? And then helmets, you know, all these pump up, you stick a pump up deal in the top of the helmet and you can air it up around the kids and everything else. But do y'all think that technology has has gotten too far out front of the safety aspect?
No, I think it's more of what we talked about. There's more signs that you identify.
Yeah.
I think in 1992, there was probably as many concussions as there are today. They just didn't identify it.
Right.
I'm not saying that they're hitting harder. Now, I do believe at the college level and the professional level, I think that they are hitting harder. Yeah. I think the angles that they're taught to do, the strength, everybody individually working on that. But I think at the high school level, I think it's just more of they're identifying it.
At an earlier age.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Whereas beforehand,
much
it was
more
like,
aware of it now.
Yeah, much more aware of it. It used to be.
Then.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
I was just curious because Josh called me and we were talking about, he was talking about that. And one of the things that he brought up was, you know, is turf part of the problem? You got just about every high school in Texas, Southeast Texas, right? You got a few that still don't, but are on turf now. But we watched three kids or two of them get concussions 2 weeks ago in Orangefield. It's all grass, but part of it has to do with hitting. So I was just curious, you know, because I can remember playing. You had your old Rydell helmet and foam padding in it, fit tight. You know what I mean? You right. adjusted your ear pad so it fit on your jawline like it was supposed to. But now they've got away from all of that. Now it's all this air up stuff and
yeah, gel pad. I don't think all that does help. Yeah. I think it's probably science that breaks down
the helmet redesigns too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just kind of curious.
I'm kind of curious, guys. I don't know very much about like the peewee level, but do you think that like the introduction of, it seems like kids are playing flag football a little bit later these days. Do you think that changes how well these kids learn how to tackle, you know, in time for the high school?
I do, and that's a great point. I think that learning how to tackle is so extremely important.
Yes.
And I think that it has a lot to do with how well a kid performs.
Right.
And how to fall.
Yeah, I mean, when you, as a student athlete, I think if you learn how to hit and you learn how to put your legs behind you and make good tackles, and when it doesn't hurt, for say when you're running in with your head down or something of that nature, I think it determines what type of player you are.
Right.
And not only that, just being the healthy end of things of not getting hurt as much and having neck issues, I think that at that little league level, that's probably the one thing that I would say is the most important, is for kids to learn how to properly tackle, get your head across, you know, that kind of thing. Learn to put your feet underneath you. And I think it's just very, very important. That way, when you do start junior high football, I think you're so much more advanced.
Right.
Not because you've played minutes and time, because that, I think that all goes by the wayside. I think you don't even develop really to your seventh and eighth grade.
Right.
But I do think the learning how to tackle the proper way, I think, is massively big. I mean, there's too many guys, even at the high school level. I mean, look at who, what's the, our outside backer work for you out there at the Lily Park?
Oh, yeah, Keyshawn.
Keyshawn. I mean, the dude comes flying in.
Yeah, like 9-0.
It's not that he's no different than some of the other kids. It's just he just knows how to do it. He realizes it doesn't hurt, and he puts the hat to you versus getting that hat put to him, right?
Right.
So that's just a good example. I mean, it's just somewhere along the line, he learned how to do it the right way.
Yeah.
And flies around.
Probably when he was over at Shepherd.
Maybe. But yeah. I don't know.
Now they got the... They got even got extra padding on top of the helmet, right?
Yeah, for what do they call them?
The padded the caps shell, that they put on. Have you seen them?
Yeah, well, I've seen them at the college level a lot.
Yeah.
They practically, during practice, they're making them wear those. And it's probably got science behind it.
Right.
You know, you're not taking as much of a hit to the head and, you know.
Soften the blow a little bit.
It's all real stuff. I mean, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
You can wear those on the field in the NFL now.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. Somebody was just telling me that the other day. They could wear them in the NFL.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So, well, moving on, let's talk about District 9-3A Division 1. Big matchup for Fairfield this week out of that district because they have die ball at home. Fairfield's 2-0 in that district. Westwood's 2-0. 7-0 overall, Fairfield is. As they have Teague this week. Teague's 1-1. Die ball's 1-1. And Crockett's 0-2 and Huntington's 0-2. So, as it's shaping up, we kind of thought this might be the year Crockett gets an opportunity to slip into the playoffs, but they should be able to beat Huntington and be able to move to 1-2. But I'm just saying it's not looking that way now. As you see how this district's shaping up with Fairfield and Teague in there, right?
Yeah, when I look at that district, obviously Westwood stands out,
right?
And that's what's kind of interesting. I mean, I'd like to know, you know, Trent and Aaron's thoughts as we stand right now. Obviously, our district is going to match up with their district in round one.
Yeah.
Out of all those teams that you foresee going, what two teams or even one do you see getting to the third round?
The third?
Third.
The regional round?
That's right.
Well, whoever gets the number one seed,
right,
out of 10-3A,
right,
has the best chance of doing it. And that's, you know, right now that's Orangeville, right?
Right.
But just looking at the scenarios and how that plays out, you're not going to see like a Westwood or Columbus or Hitchcock. You're not going to see them until that round anyway.
That's right. That's why I'm saying, what is a, when we're talking the big picture, you know, we're not talking about fourth places and third place and kind of including a lot of.
So I think
we're talking about big picture stuff. Westwood stands out to me.
Yeah. Westwood's that team that's going three rounds.
Yeah, they're going to match up, and the question is, can they match up to your Columbus and your Hitchcocks?
Well, we're going to talk about it on the 5-9 Sports Show as we progress on,
right
through as we get through. I mean, we're in week 8 right now,
right?
But as we progress on, that's definitely, you know, we're going to kind of broaden and then narrow
and
it down.
And we're getting to that point to kind of talk about it. That's why I say, definitely. Like, Anahuac, to me, if we can ever get the barrier healthy
right
with the numbers that he puts up,
yeah,
that they could make a very good run.
Agreed.
Versus, and I'm not taking anything away from Orangefield and East Chambers. I just don't know that they're built for three round deep.
That deep.
That deep. But when you got an athlete like Barrier and some of them, I'm telling you, like, that's why I'd like to see him get healthy, because they're going to be representing our district, obviously, you know, so it's like.
Well, in that, and you go back and you look at history, right? You last year, for instance, you go back and you look
swept.
At. Yeah,
last year our
district got swept. We were at 9, and they were, and they everybody out of District 10 moved on to the next round.
That's what Shepherd did. Right. The, yeah,
and Shepherd slipped up and got Franklin.
Right,
right. So, and Franklin's beatable this year.
I think so.
I think they've already proven that. Right.
Yeah. And I wasn't looking over them. I just obviously Hitchcock and Columbus. They really stand
They're
out.
The two that just
Westwood
like,
stands out.
Yes,
those are. Three teams that I just comes to mind. Malakoff stands out.
Right. Where last year, Franklin was that team that popped to your head. Columbus was right. And Hitchcock. And I was real big in, of course, Lorena as well. But
right.
This year, it is solely focused Columbus, Hitchcock, Westwood. Those are your
exactly.
top three teams. And one of those three teams is going to be representing this Region 3 area in the semifinals.
Yes.
I truly feel that way.
I do too.
I truly
That's why
feel that
I just
way.
Kind of. And everybody listening is probably thinking the same way. I mean, we're not trying to get out of our district, but it's starting to pretty lay out like you know it's going to be. And then you may have a fourth place team get in there, but I mean, at the end of the day, are they really going to do much past the first round?
Right.
So it's kind of like when you're talking high school football, like in the big picture,
right?
You got to think, you know, what team or two teams are really going to really go give them a run.
So moving over into 4A Division II, District 9 is this at Jasper District. Hampshire Finette, West Orange, both 2-0, 6-1 overall record. Shepherd 1-1, Sealsby 1-1, Tarkington 0-2, Jasper 0-2. I mean, how often? When was the last time you said Jasper 0-2 in district?
Right.
But
well, I mean, when you got West Orange, Stark, and Hampshire Finette coming out of the gate,
right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's very
either you
simple.
Upset them or because they were the underdog,
right?
And Hampshire Finette, they were picked to win the district. That, yeah, they had a few questionable games, but at the end of the day, I knew that what they could do.
Right.
And they're showing that.
Yeah. So this week out of that district, you got Finette has Tarkington. West Orange, Sealsby. That's going to be a really good game. Shepherd and Jasper. Jasper's favored by 23 in that game. And then, yeah. So that's how that district, of course, they're a week behind us in district play. So
what are you thinking?
I'm just looking at this, and I'm clicking over.
It's no change
no.
from what we did on the district picks. It's the same four teams.
I think so,
that we.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, you know, West Orange Stark probably end up 2, Sealsby 3, Jasper 4 is my thoughts.
So
that's how it'll shake up.
The overall, you're looking at November 8th,
mm-hmm.
right, when Hampshire Finette and West Orange face each other.
Agree.
Right?
Absolutely.
The defense from West Orange Stark versus the offense from
Hampshire Finette, and we're going to see. And
what they used to call themselves at West Orange with a chain gang, or
that's a Friday game.
Used to always be a nickname.
Listen to me, that's a Friday game. We play Thursday.
Is it at West Orange?
Hang on.
It'll be at Hampshire Finette.
It's at Finette.
We may need to go to that.
So
there's another one that was at that same time that we discussed.
Well, me and Trent were talking
Malakoff
the other day.
Malakoff
and Winsboro.
Yeah,
is that Friday? That's
a
hike
up
there.
Yeah, I might have to do that West Orange, though. That's a little more local.
It is more
local. At the end of the day, I want them, our local teams, to go further than
anybody else.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
I'll say this. A lot of people feature, you know, West Orange's defense, but their offense has really improved over the course of this season. I mean, they're hanging up some serious points against some teams, and I mean, it could be a shootout.
I mean,
at the end of the
and
season.
I'm not taking anything from their offense. I'm just Cornell Thompson was the DC forever, and obviously their defense was extremely good for many, many years. That's the reason I just said that.
So before we go to break. District 8, 5A Division 2. That district dynamically has changed a good bit from when we made our picks.
I agree.
Right? You got Nederland and PNG, both 4-0. PNG's undefeated on the season. Nederland 6-1. Huntsville 3-1, 5-2 overall. They have Lake Creek this week. I don't think that's going to be much of a game. Montgomery has West Fork. Montgomery's 3-1. Then you got Lake Creek 1-3, West Fork 1-3, Dayton 0-4, Splendora 0-4. Kind of the bottom feeders out of that district, and they play each other this week. So,
yeah, things. Yeah, I'm more on the PNG and Nearland.
Big County Madness.
So
we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, and that's going to be the pick 'em. So everybody needs to start getting their thinking hat on. So yeah. PNG's got them coming to town, but anybody from PNG will tell you that that game could go any way.
Yes,
that is always.
And if I didn't have a, if we didn't have a game this week, that's where I'd be.
I'm telling you that needs to get a lot of attention.
I have a game this week, and I may have to pass up Buena and say I missed the exit.
I know, right?
We're going to take a break real quick here on the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll be back with the Pick'ems right after this.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744 or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com.
Welcome back to the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis in the Randy Trubbs Hot Box. Trent Hart, the little square on your screen if you're watching Facebook Live, there in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box. Aaron Ward up there, top left side of your screen with SETX.com. And if you want to go get in some good chat, you go get on that SETX.com. There's some good stuff. They got a forum page over there. You can go in there, register, make you a login name. They got a big pick'ems over there as well. They got like 25 games that you pick from. But anyway, it's a good little setup, their pick'ems that they have. And that website over there is pretty good. And if you want to go find anything out on in Southeast Texas, what's going on over there, you can hit it. Toby, me and you remember back in 07, 08.
Yeah, you always got to have different login names so nobody can figure you out, yeah, you know.
That way nobody knew who you were, yeah, if you were chiming in and stuff.
Yeah, there's lots of traffic over there. And that's why you can always, I mean, just pick a game.
Yeah.
If you're curious, man, I don't know anybody that went to that game. Go to Southeast Texas Forum.
You're going
to
find it. Yeah.
And if you can get a bunch of them rambling back and forth, you can pretty much feel like you were at that game, right?
Yeah, most definitely.
So that's what's good about it.
And that thing with that SETX.com, it was out. Back, it
2008,
out.
9, yeah. 7, it was massive then.
Ricky was in Cleveland.
Yeah, that was kind of before you had the app with all the, yeah, you know, where you can
way
just kind of,
yeah,
yeah, it was way before that.
So,
but yeah, it was always people getting kicked off and,
yeah, grown men crying.
Yeah, it got pretty treacherous on there. So, yeah, so
a lot of fun over there. I've commented a bunch. I've hurt some feelings, yeah, over there. I've made some people mad at me.
Yeah.
And, cussed me out.
Yeah, Craig there. Wasn't real good about disguising his name, so it was always like, oh, that's got to be Craig Irwin that's saying that.
Right, look, I always stand. Here's the deal about me, and Toby, you know this, Trent, you know this as well. Aaron don't know me as well, but I always stand behind what I say. I take ownership in it. Yep. So
that you do.
And
you go out on the limb sometimes.
I do, but, you know, people don't listen to what I have to say over me being biased.
Then everything's opinionated. Right. I mean, everybody, nobody's, yeah, right. Nobody's, I mean, it's just the end of the day, it's just someone's opinion. And I think that's what makes talk radio so fun.
Yeah. No, it does. It does. But while we were at the break, Aaron and Trent wanted to go over to talk about this District 10 4A Division 1, which is the district Livingston Lions in. And I get a lot, I get some good insight, well, on the Lions anyway. Out of that, and can learn a little bit about these teams. But Bridge City got the win over Livingston this last week, and how this district shapes up. You have three teams that are undefeated in District 4-0, and it's Bridge City, Huffman, Little Cypress, Mauriceville. Now somebody's fixing to end up with a loss because LCM and Bridge City play this week. Hardin, Jefferson, Liberty, and Lumberton and Vider are all 1-3, and then
that's
Livingston,
crazy.
Yeah, And then Livingston's down there at 0-4. So Livingston has Huffman this week. So I suspect Huffman's going to go to 5-0. And either Bridge City or Little Cypress is going to be 5-0. So you'll knock it down to 2. Liberty has Vider. I feel like that could be a good game for Liberty. And then Lumberton has Hard Jefferson. Go ahead, Trent.
I just don't know, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in the pick'ems here in a little bit. It's just I know there's a lot of hype around Bridge City right now, it seems like, especially online. And rightfully so, they're 7-0. But just looking at their schedule and their scoreboard, I'm just like, I'm still not sold.
What would it take, Trent, for you to be sold on Bridge City?
To beat LCM this week.
But if that game's in the pick'em, how do I choose which way to go? Because I'm the same way. It's like,
yeah,
man, obviously you want to go with an undefeated team, but at the same time, you're
strength of schedule.
Yeah, I'll eat my words. Extremely tough. You know, if they, you know, just by not being sold on them, I'll eat my words. If they win this week against LCM, I'll be like, okay, I'm buying into it.
You're gonna get you a Cardinals hat and wear it.
Yeah, I might get a yeah.
You better up that internet. You better come to the house, bring your laptop, so you'll have good internet, so you can be on a video feed. Trent, we love you, buddy.
Are we sure that Trent even exists anymore, and that's just not an AI?
We're wondering that too. Yeah,
it very well could be
hooked up to the phone and running the chat GPT or whatever it is.
Yeah, he's got the little rotary phone out right now.
Yeah.
Daggum Trent down there on the bay.
Yeah.
No internet. You know, he's just a lost cause. We just got him in here. He's what is that Jelly Roll song? I'm a lost cause.
Yeah.
So if Bridge City can beat Little Cypress, he'll get him a Bridge City Cardinals hat.
Yeah.
He'll be on board.
I'm just saying that I'll buy into it. You know, okay. They crept up into the Southeast Texas top five. On Elam's page over there, and I looked when I first saw that, I was like, is it a little early for that type of, you know,
right
deal? But
all of our games were played on Friday night. We had one left on Saturday. Yeah, and Trent as well. It was actually all three of us, and we're like, come on, Eagles. You know, of course, that's your alma mater, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you're from, and like, man, you gotta go with them.
You know,
I mean,
what was bad? You know what should have been our giveaway to not go with New Caney? Went Randy with Randy's Rubs, went with Caney Creek.
Yeah.
That should have been the dead giveaway.
Randy had a rough week, though. I got to looking at his picks.
He did get that one right, though.
Yeah, but he did. You're right.
Yeah. Aaron, who did you have? Caney Creek or New Caney?
Oh, man. I can't remember quite well. I feel like it was Caney Creek.
Yeah, you were probably the one me and Toby were laughing at. Yeah. He picked Caney Creek.
We're like, you got to go with New Caney. You know, I mean, just a bigger like 3-4 years ago, I mean, they go like 4 rounds deep, you know, and been around a lot longer. And just, I guess, being so close to Caney Creek, it's been forever since I've known them to really win a lot of games.
So in 2019, they went to the playoffs with a 2-9 overall record. Right,
yeah,
is what they had. So they made the bi-district round of the playoffs. That was in 2019. They had not won a game since then.
Yeah,
and until this year. Now they got 2 wins under their belt.
I know. I mean,
and one of them was against Cleveland. The other was against New Caney.
These pick-ems. That's why the people that are at the top, Trent. Hats off to you, man. I mean,
number Trace.
Yeah,
number 3, Trent. Yeah.
But he would have went to the top had that.
Yeah.
You would have went to 4.
If Trent would have picked that Cold Spring East Chambers game right, like you and I did.
Well, he kind of didn't know the injury report.
We gave it to him.
Well, we did.
We didn't know it at the time either.
We had a feeling.
And he had the same feeling.
We gave him
every opportunity to go the other way, and he chose to go the way he went.
Right. Now, you're right.
So, there's that. Trent, do you agree?
Nonetheless, as far as the... As far as those pick'ems are concerned, I'm still sitting in the third spot. Cullen Till and Landon Corbett, 43-12. Cullen Till is leading by point differential. Of course, then we said, you know, I'm in third, Ash Leland's in fourth. There's one, two, three people with 41 and 14 records. To make that four people with 41 and 14 records, three people at 40 and 15, and that wraps up the top 10 with Craig Irwin moving up a couple of spots in the 11th position.
We can't. Yeah. You got to be in the top 10 to get talked about, Craig. So
I'm almost there.
Scratch that.
Yeah.
He's number 11.
I'm so close. So for
yet
those,
so yet so far
for those of them that are listening, just joining in, right, and maybe somebody sent them our podcast and you're just listening. So over there on our Facebook page, 599 Sports, we have a Pick'ems. And it's brought to you by Randy's Rub, Supporters Processing, 599 Sports, and Wax Sports Live. We've got a gift pack that we're going to give away at the end of the regular season with who the number one overall. Toby, Trent, myself are not eligible.
Or second and third, actually.
Do what?
First, second, and third, actually. Toby advertised it at the beginning.
Okay. So, with that being said, so we're giving away a prize pack to the people that are not involved right here. You, Toby and myself, yep, and Trent, right? We're not eligible for the prizes, but we play the game. So, with that being said, got a gift pack we're going to be giving away and to hook the winners up, and look forward to it. And then we'll have a, through the playoffs, we'll take care of that, and then state championship, we'll have a winner for that deal as well. So it's not too late. You can chime in. It's late in the season for the regular season, but yet once we get started in the postseason, you can win as well. So it's a lot of fun. We sure enjoy it, and we got a great set of pick'ems. Trent was the bottom feeder out of the three of us, so he gets to pick the game of the week this week. So I'm going to let Trent get it started. You got your screen pulled up so you can punch in who picked who, Trent?
I do. Let me – hold on a second. If my computer will – there we go.
I'm just curious what game we're going to start with, because, dude, this week's pick'ems is
so
just
hard.
Completely off the chain good.
Yeah, we've been waiting for this week for a while.
Yeah.
On multiple levels. Let me get this typed up.
Oh, my God. You're taking entirely too long, Trent. I just need to know the first
Patience.
Game so I can pull it up.
Patience. All right. So, first game of the week 9 Orders Processing and Randy's Rubs Pick'ems contest. West Orange Stark at Silsby. We'll start with Craig.
That game's played at Silsby.
Yeah, and I'm
at
pulling it up.
Silsby.
Pulling it up right now. Silsby's 5-2. West Orange Stark 6-1. Game's on the road at Silsby. Toby, you and I went to a great game last year.
You could have home field advantage.
Yeah. You got the home field advantage here for Silsby. I'm going to go, man, this is a hard pick because this is for number 2 in the district.
This is easier than some of these ones.
I know.
If you think it's hard.
I'm going to go against everything Big E ever said. I'm going West Orange in this one. Toby?
I'm going West Orange in this one as well.
Big E's going to be upset when he listens. Aaron?
I hate to pick against my hometown, but I'm going to go with West Orange.
Hey, don't feel bad. Toby and I did last week.
Yeah.
So for me, I know it was only in week 3, but Silsby defeating Nederland 37-24. And West Orange Stark losing to him in week 2, 13-14. That was a tight one.
A good comparison.
I mean, you got to look at that, right? And but I know that West Orange Stark has gotten way better since then.
And two, I'm factoring in a little bit of, you don't know how the injury report's kind of looking for Silsby just quite yet. I mean, they put up a good score against Tarkington the other night.
But it's Tarkington.
Right.
yeah.
What is Tarkington? That is the question.
So
Tarkington is a three-point football team.
Craig, you might want to reach out to James Wiggins with SCTX Sports. He's the Silsby broadcaster, and he would probably know whether or not I think it's Gary Farr, if he's going to be back in, you know, whether or not he'll be back in, because that's a big part of Silsby's offense. He's a running back and pretty sure a linebacker. So with him being out the past couple of weeks, it's been a change for Silsby, and you know, that could be a difference if he's back or not. But either way,
well, I think West Orange is on a roll, and I'm also going to go West Orange start
straight across the board. West Orange,
all across the home team.
Next game, Humble Kingwood at Sheldon C.E. King.
Ooh.
All right, Craig, give us a rundown on Kingwood and what they've done and C.E. King.
Man, I know.
For one, I know that this past week, Atascocita and Kingwood played, and that game was 41-40.
Yeah.
And all of, you know, the big going into this is everybody said that Atascocita could have the hardest schedule in Texas high school football. They went out and played some teams far off, very good teams, played them very well.
Here's Kingwood's losses. They lose to Houston Stratford 38-44. They lose to North Shore 48-21.
Remember that.
They lose to Atascocita 41-42. Okay. Atascocita, their overall record, they're perfect, right? They're 4-0 in district, 7-0 overall. Kingwood.
Okay, but you're leaving out a big part of that. Who did they beat? Who is Atascocita beat? This is where our listeners, can understand if they know high school football. Talk to the teams.
Atascocita has beat Houston Lamar, Katy, Austin Westlake, C.E. King, Summer Creek, Humble, Kingwood.
And Summer Creek is the team that was like, what, 141-0, pitched four shutouts?
215-0.
Yeah.
Is what they were. Yeah.
So Atascocita beat them as well.
Yeah. So C.E. King, they lose to Spring Westfield, 34-28. They beat Dickinson 28-14. They beat Spring to Katy 42-0. They lose to Atascocita 54-7. Goose Creek Memorial, they shut them out 48-0. Summer Creek, they lose 53-7, and they beat Humble 49-27. Now, I had C.E. King going in the four spot in my district picks for this district. With what Kingwood has done in the showing that they had against Atascocita this last week, I'm going Kingwood in this one.
Trent,
you might as well go ahead and go, because Toby's doing some – he's doing some digging right now.
I got Kingwood. I got Kingwood. Go ahead, go back. Aaron. Obviously, I was big on Kingwood from the get-go. I think the common opponent with Atascocita made me figure out which one. One by 38 and one by one.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's definitely a part of it for me. Taking a look at Max Preps just real quick, not knowing a bunch about Houston, Houston football, I definitely lean Kingwood, so I'll go with them.
I'm going Kingwood as well.
We're not.
You went Kingwood,
yes, sir.
We're not getting any separation.
Whatsoever. It's okay. It's all right. We got 35 guys. I think that picked last time.
We might on this next one. Bridge City at LCM.
Yeah, I think we'll get a little separation here.
Yeah, this is a lot of people are going to piggyback off what somebody else said, because this to me is extremely hard.
Yeah.
I wished I would have. Is what's going to be said.
So Bridge City's undefeated. Right, coming into this 7-0,
like new coach, completely, right?
Yeah,
brand new coach, new, yeah. So everything, big things happening.
New year, new me. That's right. They took it to a whole new level as they're 7-0. They beat Buna, they beat Kirbyville, they beat Orangefield, they beat Lumberton, they beat Vider, Hardin Jefferson, Livingston. Right, LCM. They lose to Hampshire Finette. They lose to Silsby. They played Iowa, Louisiana. They won that one. They beat Jasper. They beat Hardin Jefferson. They beat Livingston. And they beat Liberty.
What was the Jasper score?
Jasper. They didn't play Jasper.
I thought you just said they beat Jasper.
No, No, they beat Livingston, Liberty, Hardin, Jefferson, Vidor.
Okay, Vidor.
They lost to Silsbee 27-14, and they lose to Hampshire and Frenette 13-7.
Yeah.
In week one. So here we are, fast forward. Livingston was a 35-16 game for LCM, and it was a 36-20 game for Bridge City.
And Orangefield has done very well. They have a new coach, but their old coach is now at Bridge City. And Bridge City beat Orangefield, right? He beat his old team.
Yeah.
So just kind of some things to think about.
Aaron, give us your thoughts on this one first.
Well,
I already know who I'm picking, but go ahead.
Yeah, so seeing Bridge City, I mean, it's still an impressive team, even though the scores have gotten a little bit closer. Now, Trent mentioned something earlier about Bridge City, and maybe, you know, he's not quite sold on them just yet. I'll say this, some of the shine in my eyes has dimmed just a little bit, and you've kind of gotten a better idea of who they are in district play. So maybe they're not world beaters, but knowing what I've seen on the field with both teams, that offense is pretty solid with Bridge City. Coach Molly's coaching an offensive scheme that he was really good at when he was at Bridge City the last time. And if you go look at those district records back when he was at Bridge City as an offensive coordinator, that was back when I was in high school. He was doing pretty good. I mean, he was elevating that program. And just seeing, you know, both teams, you know, LCM's got a pretty good defense. They're going to play pretty good defense. But unless they've figured out some of the quarterback situation that might throw them off a little bit. They had a decent running back from what I remember. But I really think Coach Smalley has turned things around over in Bridge City. And so I'm going to pick Bridge City.
Going Bridge City. Is that what you said?
Yes.
And he might be at that game.
Yeah, I'm going to try to. I'm going to try to get in, try to work with Coach Peavy and see if I can get a spot for Friday.
So I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this and I break it down common opponents, right? And that's solely how I'm making my decision tonight. And I'm going LCM. Yeah, I'm going with the underdog, the 5-2 football team, to win this game.
Where's it being played at?
At LCM.
Okay, you're going with the home team.
Going with the home team.
I'm going with Bridge City, so mark me down with that.
PC. Toby may walk in here with
Cardinal
hat on.
I'm two behind Craig. I've got to figure out a way to get the two back.
Trent?
I don't want everybody thinking like I'm a Bridge City hater, because I'm not. I'm rooting for Coach Smalley, and I want them to be, you know, successful. But looking at the schedules and looking at, like Craig mentioned, common opponents, and I'm looking at this schedule and I'm like, who have you played? This is going to be the first real test for them, and I'm going LCM.
After that, he's got to get – Trent's got to get – if Bridge City wins this one, he's got to get a Cardinals hat, wear it on the show, although he's just a little square. What's the next one? Trentster.
The next one. Didn't you hear me?
No, yeah. Go ahead. Repeat what you said. What'd you say?
Or did you lose me?
Yeah, we lost you.
For a brief second.
Lost me for a second. So, Lufkin at Port Arthur Memorial.
Oh.
So, we haven't even talked about this district today.
Yeah.
No, we haven't.
Kind of where that district is. So, as it's pulling up,
this game's being played in Lufkin.
Yeah. So, you got Galveston Ball, Lufkin, and Port.
No, it's at Port Arthur Memorial.
Oh, is it at Memorial?
Okay. So we got Galveston Ball and Lufkin are both 3-0. Galveston Ball's undefeated 7-0 on the season. Lufkin 6-1. Port Arthur Memorial 3-1. Barbers Hill 2-2. Beaumont Westbrook 1-2. Baytown Sterling 0-4. And Beaumont United 0-3. is the way District 9 5A Division 1 shapes up. Port Arthur Memorial, they got one district loss. Pull that up. See who they lose. They lost to Fort Bend Hightower. They beat Spring to Caney. They beat Houston Legacy. Lose to Fort Bend Hightower, 37-40. Cleburne, they win that one 63-7. Their one district loss was to Galveston Ball, 41-10. So, then you look over at what Lufkin's done. They're perfect in district, right? Their one loss was to Lobo, Longview, and that was a baseball game, 7-3 game. And that was at home for Lufkin. So, this game is on the road at Port Arthur Memorial. I'm going to go with Lufkin in this one. I think Lufkin is ginning in the right direction. And I'm going Lufkin. This is a tough district.
I'm going to fall suit with you. I'm going to go with Lufkin. And it's rich history in football.
Yeah.
I think that they always have quite a bit of athletes over there. They're doing pretty decent this year, putting together some wins. I just think they're more impressive wins than what Memorial's doing.
I agree.
So that's who I'm going with.
I'll go next. The game that I look at the most for these two teams is how they did against Barbers Hill. And Lufkin beating them 32-14, Port Arthur narrowing out 20-17. So that's, in my mind, was the deciding factor for me. I'm going Lufkin.
Hey, Ron?
I'll stay loyal to the 409 area here. I'm going to go with the Titan tempo. Give me the Memorial Titans, baby.
Yes, sir.
Lufkin looks pretty good on paper, but I think people forget that Memorial has put up some good playoff runs in the past couple of years. They're a solid team almost every year here lately. I don't have any reason to turn against them.
What's the next game? The CEO just came in.
So just to be clear, that these next three games that are going to be coming up, well, actually, any of these, I would say that Bridge City LCM game could have qualified as a game of the week on any other week. Lufkin Port Arthur could have been qualified, but this next one definitely could have qualified. Nederland at PNP.
Mid County Madness. Take the records. We're not even going to go over what the records are.
Throw them out.
The game is at PNG this year. Am I correct?
Yes.
If you don't have anywhere to go Friday night, you need to go to the Res. I'm telling you, I may miss the exit for Buna and end up there. This game is probably by 10 o'clock Monday morning will be completely sold out. If you don't have a district pass, you're not getting into that football game. I don't care. You throw records out. This game could go either way. I wish I had the overall record between the two. I wish I had that, but I don't.
Find it.
Can you look it up, Trent, real quick?
Yeah, I'll find it.
But this is a huge game.
Yeah, anybody that lives there that's grew up PNG, Nederland.
Yeah.
Big matchup.
I know who Ashley Elam's going to
pick. Big matchup.
Huge. Like, guy at work, I told him this is a game he's got to go to go experience Texas high school football.
Oh, yeah.
This is a game that you got to go to.
Yeah.
And come on, cowboy. Got the CEO up here on the stream with me. He's prettier than I am. So, Trent will have that pulled up here pretty quick. And to what he's saying, this game could be a game of the week. That Bridge City game could have been a game of the week.
Yeah.
I mean, really and truly, any one of them that we've been through could qualify for the game of the week. And I have a feeling I know what game is going to be the game of the week. So
52, 36, and 8 in favor of Port Neches.
There you go.
52, 36, and 8.
1925 was the first matchup between these two.
Jeez. 100 years.
Some history, man.
99 years.
That's some history.
Is that right? Is my math right? 99 years of what this? 1925? Yes. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, let me go first on this one.
You're going to go. I already know where you're going. Go ahead.
Yeah. So when I look at it, I like Nederland. I like PNG. Obviously, they played last year for the big game and
brought a trophy home.
Brought it home. But I don't like Nederland losing to Silsby. I didn't like that. I didn't like the West Orange game being real close.
Right.
Didn't like that. So I'm going to go PNG. I like the home field advantage.
Yeah.
I just think it means a lot in that matchup.
Aaron?
Yeah, I think picking against PNG in their own stadium, famously called the Reservation. I mean, that's like coming into Penn State or the Horseshoe or the Big House, you know, Bryant-Denny Stadium. The energy around that stadium is incredible. You know, look, they were state champions last year. I'm pretty sure that they, man, Nederland and them have both beat, you know, Lake Creek, and it was kind of a narrow score in both games. That was supposed to be a good opponent there. But I think the difference is, like, maybe what was, Toby was saying, you know, some of those games that got dropped with Silsby and close game with West Orange, you know, maybe Nederland's kind of developed over the course of the season a little bit more. But I still have no reason to pick against PNG.
I'm going to go next. Are you going to go, Trent? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll go. So, you already said it, 52, 36, and 8. PNG has won 6 of the last 9 meetings. So, in this game being at PNG, yeah, no doubt. All important ages.
We're going to sweep it. I can't go against the Rit.
Craig, come on.
The Indians. I can't.
Create separation in this thing.
Look, as long as I stay two ahead.
You know how happy you'll be if they pull this out?
Yeah, I agree.
You'll make ground
you.
On everybody.
I would be happy. And I'd probably be the only one who
you
picks Nederland in this deal. I know what I could do.
You haven't officially picked yet, Craig. Okay.
PNG.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sweet.
Sorry to hurt your feelings, Toby.
Maybe we can get Whistleblower to go that way.
Whistleblower probably
he
would.
Might go that way.
We ain't talked about Whistleblower in a while.
Is this like a sideline to sideline where they have Coach X? Now, is this one of those situations?
We have a legit whistleblower.
Yeah.
And, okay. You'd have to go.
I don't
back.
Know about legit.
Oh,
you would have to go back to the podcast last year.
Yeah.
And listen through whenever he made his introduction into coming from Tarkington.
Yeah.
And then he ended up over at Mount Bellevue, and. Anyway, so now he's kind of obsolete. I guess kind of he's more of a Tomball guy now. He just it's kind of wherever he lives, that's who he gets on that bandwagon with. But I guess we should have threw a Tomball game in here to see which direction that would have been a telltale for us.
Right.
So maybe next week.
Maybe.
He wanted to come on the show and I don't know.
He's famous.
He is. He's a legend in his own mind. What's the next
infamous,
game?
Infamous, maybe.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so the next game. Am I connected? Can y'all hear me okay?
We got you.
Okay, it just keeps on bugging out on me. So I struggled with picking the game of the week. But this one is just toss up. So the next one, North Shore at Atascocita.
So we've kind of given some rundown on it already, right? We discussed Atascocita and what they did with Kingwood and some of the matchups. They were trying to pick that Kingwood game.
Yeah, and I talked about that, right? Yeah. I kind of brought it up. It's like, well, it's going to, you
but
know.
This is a big, big game. I mean, if you read the Dave Campbell stuff and you do all that, I mean, the big – every year it seems like Atascocita loses to North Shore.
Yeah.
And so it's always, when is it going to be their year? Well, this year there's no reason it can't be their year because they went out and played everybody.
Yeah,
they made the schedule. They traveled. They went. They took on anybody they could possibly take on. I think the only one they didn't get was probably, DeSoto and Duncanville?
Right.
But at the end of the day, Atascocita is always in the district of North Shore.
Right.
And it's going to be a great matchup. Now, I do believe this game is played in North Shore, if I'm correct.
At Atascocita.
Is it Atascocita?
Yeah.
So, like...
Did you change your mind just off of that?
I've already had mine picked prior to this, but...
Well, tell
I'm just trying to give as much information out there for, you know, our listeners that are doing this.
So, here's the deal. North Shore's played South Oak Clift. They shut them out 38-0. They played Crowley. They beat them 28-13. Spring Westfield, 47-3. Humble, 42-0. Kingwood, 48-21. Goose Creek Memorial, 70-0. Channelview, 55-6.
Yep. So, basically, you're highlighting the Kingwood matchup because they both played them. One's won by one. One's won by, what, 18?
Yeah. I can tell by your reaction that I know what direction you're going.
Look. I'm trailing in this thing, so yeah. Don't listen to what I'm doing. I definitely, what I like about it is it's a great matchup. And to me, like, if you're sitting in the stands or you're looking for games to go to, when you got matchups like this and the Columbus and Hitchcock and P&G and Nederland, and man, that's what makes high school football so fun. I'll pick first. I'm going to go with North Shore. I think that the last couple of years, I think it's kind of been the Dallas way, but I think North Shore is going to win it all this year. So I have no reason to not go with North Shore in this matchup, in this district matchup. But that's my pick.
I got North Shore in this one as well. They're picked by 9. It's on the road. I think it's going to be a good football game overall. That Kingwood Atascocita game kind of has me a little bit worried about Atascocita. We don't know injuries or whatever, but this week, it's a big week. They're going to come out full force, but I'm still going to go North Shore.
I guess I'll go next. I mean, they've stood out to me ever since that week one win against South Oak Cliff, you know, North Shore has. And just knowing the kind of pedigree that they bring along with them, I mean, it's a famous program here in Texas. Storied programs, so you know I'm gonna pick them.
Trent, you don't believe Katie's,
it's really hard.
Katie's a storied program here.
Oh,
so Atascocita did go take it. They did go take it to them.
Katie is a storied program.
Yeah, and they went out and scheduled them and took it to them.
Yeah, but it's a short story now compared to what they used to be.
I'm just messing with you, Aaron. I'm 100%
that's kind of true. You know, if it wasn't for this last week game, because I had picked Atascocita, I was like, this is the year, right? I was all about it during our district picks.
Trent,
but
you can still
this
go that way.
Kingwood game really threw a wrench in my gear. Overall, and this is kind of surprising too, they've only been playing each other since 2016. Did y'all know that?
Yeah, because Atascocita went 6A then.
Right. So they're not – North Shore is 9-2 versus Atascocita all time. Last time Atascocita won was 2017. So with that game, that Kingwood game, I've got to – and Alex is going to kill me, but I'm going North Shore.
Alex, get him.
That's why you didn't have him on the show this weekend.
Now we're starting to see.
Yep.
The telltale.
Well, he's definitely good. He's a Atascocita alumni. He's probably going to go that way, and I want to, but I can't. I mean, just not based on that score I saw this last week. So that brings us to our game of the week, a game that we have been anticipating for weeks.
Yes.
A game that that impacts our region. 3A immensely.
Most definitely.
State championship type caliber game here.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And district play.
It's 3A.
It really
3A
is huge.
Division 1. It's big.
So Columbus, number one Columbus at Hitchcock. And I can't remember what, I think they're fourth. Are they number ranked number four?
Four or five right in there.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
At Hitchcock.
At Hitchcock.
Hmm. Now, Hitchcock, just a little history, they did win the basketball state championship, what, 2 years in a row?
Yeah. And made a big run on the baseball side.
Mm-hmm. So, a lot of athletes in that program. Columbus, last year, made a pretty good run, I think. But they did have a move-in that was a six-man guy.
Yeah.
At running back, he's been really tearing it up.
Yeah. This game here, the hard part, it's one hard to pick a winner in this, but yet on the other side of it, picking a score.
I think it's going to be high scoring.
Yeah.
I think you got some powerful offenses.
Aaron, we're going to let you start.
Ooh. Man, just looking at these schedules, I know a little bit about Hitchcock. They have that one loss against Legacy. I think it's Sports Science Academy or something.
Yeah.
Interesting thing with them. So they lost to Legacy Sports Science Academy. That Sports Academy lost to Episcopal Houston, and that team lost to West Orange earlier in the season. I think that's kind of an interesting little wrinkle
kind of
there.
Kind of connected it all.
Yeah.
But all things considered, I mean, golly, I mean, you look at Columbus' schedule. Took it to Cuero, 65 points. You know, they haven't scored less than 50 points this whole season. And they're blowing out people left and right. There hasn't really been a close game all season.
The closest game Columbus had was against Belleville, 49-35.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only time they've ever scored less than 50 points this whole season. And then you look over at the other side against Hitchcock. I mean, man, it's still such a good schedule for them, and they played really well. They beat Belleville as well by less of a score, of course. They have those wins against Silsby and Hampshire Finette.
Belleville played for the state championship last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All things considered, though, I think you got to give this one to Columbus. That's who I'm going to pick.
To the predicted score.
Oh. That's the hard one right there. Picking the score. It's easy to pick a winner.
The score. Okay, sorry. I'm going to make it. I'll just go out on a limb and I'll say Columbus by two scores. So give me a 49-35 score.
49-35.
Columbus 49-35.
Yeah, it might be a stretch. It might be a lot closer, but I don't know. I have a feeling that Columbus is a lot better.
Trent?
Oh, man.
This
you're looking
big,
at schedules.
Trent,
I mean, both teams have had just a just brutal. I mean, it's credit to both of these teams for setting up the schedules that they did in preseason and up to now, all impressive victories. Man, I want Hitchcock to win this game. I guess just because they're the underdog. You look at the computer projection; it's zero, and it can. I think Columbus is – I just feel like that this is their year. I'm going to go Columbus. And I'm going to say it's going to be
42-38.
Oh. 42-38.
Toby? I'm going to go Hitchcock in this game. I'm going with the home team. I'm going with – I just think that, in my opinion, I think that – they're going to make it happen with that home foot advantage. I think it's going to be an extremely close matchup. I think the score is going to be 42-35.
So I look at this. I look at the Belleville game, Silsby, Hampshire Finette. I look at those games, right? And I know what caliber of football team Hampshire Finette is. Not taking anything away from what Columbus has played. But the big takeaway that I think is Hitchcock has allowed 115 points this season to where Columbus has allowed 182. So I'm feeling like Hitchcock's defense is a little bit better than what Columbus's is. And I've always said defense wins championships. And with the amount of points that Hitchcock has allowed this season, that is why I'm going with Hitchcock.
And their basketball team won state 2 years in a row. They got a lot of good DBs.
Yeah, they got some cats.
Yes, sir.
So I'm saying 35-21 as a final in this football game.
This might put you in the top 10.
It might.
You know what I mean? With all of them going the other way?
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, it could.
I like it.
It's going to be a
I
really
think a lot
good
of
game.
People are probably going to go Columbus way.
And we know that Trent wants Hitchcock to win, but he went the other way.
I want to, but I don't know if that they will.
Well,
we're and going. It's crucial because he's at the top. I mean, you lose a game here and there, he may slide back to 5 or 6.
Yeah,
but it could move him up first. He could. So everybody watch Trent on this pick'ems.
Yeah, you got to watch it as it progresses. And next Monday we'll have it posted.
Yeah,
but we'll have the pick'ems up Monday morning. Trent will have them scheduled to occur Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Podcast will be up on Facebook at 7 o'clock Monday morning, and it'll be up a little bit later tonight. If you hit that subscribe button, you'll get that notification when it's uploaded. So, and then Wednesday night we'll be at Bullet Grill, 401 Highway 156 in Point Blank, Texas. We're there every week, and the new menu is supposed to come out this week, and we will be on the menu with the 590 Sports Wrap. I'm excited about it. I really am. So, great show, guys. Appreciate y'all taking time out of your night to sit down here and do this. And it's a lot of fun sitting around talking high school football. So, you ought to be in the text thread. It gets real interesting between me, Toby, and Trent. So.
Oh, yeah. We got to get Aaron at that Bridge City game. Got to get inside.
Who do we need to call to get you
in? Yeah, we got to get you in there so we can find out how that's going.
It's probably just the matter of getting a hold of Coach Peavy. Nothing against him, just a little hard to get to him. I tried to go to a game a couple of weeks ago, ended up pivoting over to Huffman. So it's one of those things. But
worst case scenario, if you don't have a game to go do, I'll be in Buna.
We might pass that up. Just going down to that PNG game.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what we could do. If we could ever get Trent to do the Anahuac Live over there at Buena Forest, like send somebody to do his, I would have no issues with the content he puts on, being able to watch the game live on my phone, but being at the PNG game.
We could get somebody
I'd be perfectly satisfied if I never had to broadcast a game from Buena ever again. But no, I'm just joking. They've removed the light pole off the 50-yard line. So that's a plus.
Funny story.
Did you go up in the crow's nest for that game? The visitor side?
On the visitor side is usually where I'm broadcasting from at Buena. So that's probably Craig, that's where you can be.
That's where I'm going. I can promise you that. That is where I'm going. The last time I did a game at Buena, Cold Spring and Buena was playing, I had a coach's wife come grab my crowd mic. I was on the home side and started downing the coaches and the players from Cold Spring. And a formal email was sent after that. But nonetheless, so great show, guys. And looking forward to this week, Texas High School football. Great, great, great week of pick'ems. Now the hard part is how do you piggyback off of this week of pick'ems, you know, with games. So looking forward to it. But we're in week 8 of Texas High School football. For Aaron Ward and SETX.com, Trent Hart over there at Anahuac Sports Live in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box, Toby Tullis, I'm Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rub Hot Box. We will see you at the game.
Howdy folks, Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
From custom processing professional guide in hunts, high tanning, and gator merchandise, Waters Processing and Alligator Farm offers a personal experience like no other. Locally owned and operated in Anahuac, Texas since 1987, Waters has been Southeast Texas' choice for any hunting adventure need. Now offering full-service processing of gator, deer, beef, hogs, and other wild game, make Waters Processing this hunting season's one-stop shop. Go to WatersProcessing.com or call 409-267-8413.